The story of Ruth and Boaz is a love story, and I just wondered if there's a diamond ring here this morning. You know, we think of people getting engaged. I'm not going to ask you to bring it to the front, don't worry. But, you know, if you think of a diamond ring, if you've got one, have a look at it just now while I'm speaking. Just think of the amount of effort it took for the miners to get these little stones onto your finger. Just think about that for a minute. And think about this wonderful book in front of me, the Word of God, where this morning we're going to see some aspects of God's character, the many-sided diamond of God's good character. And also you might want to do a bit of mining yourself, you know, between the Sundays of July, to take this wonderful book, four chapters, to read the story of Ruth. Because what you do before and after the service will multiply the benefits of the word to you. One of the top news stories over the last week is the election within the Conservative Party, the election of a new Prime Minister. And one of the factors that has been much discussed is, can you trust someone to lead you if you don't trust their character? Can you follow someone if you don't respect their character? Can you follow someone if they are not telling the truth? Can you trust someone if you don't believe they have your best interests at heart? If you don't believe that they care for you? Can you make sacrifices for someone who will abandon you when the going gets rough? Now, that is not just a political thing, of course. That is a principle of life. That is a principle that affects our working relationships, our friendships, our family relationships, our relationships within the church. But most of all, it affects the most important relationship of all, our trust in God. And in the book of Ruth, we see this big idea of, can we trust God when the going gets tough? Can we trust God when we have to forsake all and trust in Him? If you think of that word faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust Him. Do you trust Him this morning? Do you trust God this morning? Ruth and Naomi will help us to think about this. If you think about Ruth, she's like a new believer. What's a new believer like? They're very vulnerable. They've taken a step of faith into the unknown. They know a little bit about God, and what they have learned about God, they have trusted in Him. But will their confidence be proved correct? Take Naomi. She is an experienced believer who knows the ways of God very well over many years. But there's been a few twists and turns in her life, and she's not always gone in the ways that God has wanted her to go. But as we pick up the story in chapter 2, she's back in a good place at the beginning of the barley harvest. But she's still very bitter. This principle is not just a quaint story, 11th century BC, in a little place called Bethlehem. It's also a New Testament principle, And it's a principle that affects us today. If you take the conversation between Peter and Jesus, Peter said these reasonable words. We have left everything to follow you. We have left everything to follow you, Jesus. And Jesus said, those who leave father and mother and homes and businesses and fields will not fail to receive 100-fold in this life and in the life to come. Do you believe that? That's what's being explored in this passage. Through this life story of Ruth and Naomi reminds us that as believers, we are not immune from suffering, from the suffering that is common to all humanity. Injustice, illness, economic hardship, bereavement, inexplicable traumatic experiences that you can't understand. And as believers, we're not immune from trials and temptations. In 1 Peter 1:6, it says that we go through, in some seasons of life, it's like going through a furnace. And the heat is on. And in that crucible, our faith is proved genuine. And God is with us, just as he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the book of Daniel. And Hebrews 12 tells us that the goal of our lives is to be holy, is to be like Christ, to imitate God's character. And sometimes God allows us to go through painful circumstances in order that we will trust him more, in order that we will see what is important. It says in Hebrews 12 that God disciplines those he loves for our good, to make us holy. It's not pleasant at the time, but in the future, it produces a harvest of righteousness. So I want to show you that this wonderful love story has got lessons which apply to all time for those who put their trust in the Lord. But what is this many-sided diamond? What is this many-sided diamond? See, there's a baby crying at the moment. But all through the Psalms, people are crying out to God. And do you know what they're crying out? They're crying out, I trust in your unfailing love. Take Psalm 13, crying out to God, just like that baby doesn't understand what's happening to her right now. She's got needs which will be met soon, but not at this moment in time. And sometimes we're like that. We cry out, how long? How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? That's Psalm 13. But this is how it goes. But I trust in your unfailing love. Psalm 57, I am surrounded by enemies. They're like lions. There's pits that have been laid for me. There's traps all over the place. What do? I cry out to God Most High, who will fulfill his purpose for me, because he will send to me his love. He will send to me his faithfulness. So what is the believer doing in that situation? They are trusting in that many-sided diamond, God's character. And the two most important aspects of God's character, which are here in this book of Ruth, is God's steadfast love, God's faithfulness. He is kind and he keeps his promises. You might be in the situation right now where you are really struggling to believe that God is kind, that you're really struggling to understand that if you have forsaken all and trusted in him, how he could let you be going through this right now. Can you say with me this morning, God is in control? Can you say with me this morning, God is always loving and kind? Can you say with me this morning, God is always faithful? He will always keep his promises. And can you say with me this morning, God is here? God is with me? I don't like it. I don't like what's happening. But I believe that God has not abandoned me because he said he wouldn't, because he's not that kind of God. So let me briefly recap on this story. It's set in a time when there was no king in Israel, when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Elimelech, at a time of famine, did what was right in his own eyes. He abandoned his community. He went to Moab. He went to a place that worshipped a different god, that sacrificed children to this god. He came and raised his family in that land. It was only up the road, a 1 week's walk. Someone said, told me it was the distance from here to Dornoch, but I haven't checked that out. I think it's roughly right. But when the two sons die, the sons that have married two Moabite women, one called Ruth, one called Orpah, on the journey back, Naomi says, there's nothing for you in Bethlehem. There's nothing for you because God has abandoned us. Go back to Moab. God, I'm going to pray that God will be kind to you, but God will not be kind to me because God is against me and I am very bitter. And Orpah goes back and Ruth says, no. I'm coming with you because from what I've heard about the Lord of Israel, the one who parted the Red Sea, the one who gave the law, the one who is a God of loving kindness and faithfulness, I am going to trust in him. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. I'm coming with you. They arrive in Bethlehem. You see, Naomi has forgotten the story of Joseph, which says that in the meandering journey of life, God is working out a good purpose. That God brings good, even out of our mistakes. As it says in the book of Lamentations, the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, he does not willingly bring affliction or grief. So why do we feel the pain if he doesn't willingly bring affliction or grief? Well, it's very, very dangerous, and I'm not going to do it, to say that the reason Naomi was in that situation was because of personal sin or personal sin of Elimelech. I'm not going to make that bridge. It's not there. We'll say it's a mystery. But there are some times in life where God is like a skillful surgeon, and he's cutting us in order to heal us. He's teaching us things through that experience that he could not teach us any other way. And that's ever so difficult to accept, but it's true. It's what God did with Israel many, many times. But he said, how can I give you up? Your love is like the morning mist, but I will never give you up. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Now, Ruth is in a different situation. She has stepped out in faith, and she has chosen to suffer loss in order to embrace the covenant God and the covenant people. So let's look at what she's given up, Ruth's renunciation. She's turned away, first of all, from idols, from the God of Moab. She's turned away from her homeland and from her culture. Naomi said, return to your mother and father. She said, no, I'm going to cleave to my mother-in-law. That's quite rare. A mother-in-law that is bitter, that's even rarer. A mother-in-law that thinks God is against her at the very point when you want to follow God. That is pretty amazing, isn't it? Maybe her late husband was a faithful believer. Maybe that's where she learned about the loving kindness and the faithfulness of God. But she saw something in Naomi too. She, in going to Bethlehem, she has really counted the cost. It says in Deuteronomy 23, verse 3, that the children of a mixed marriage will not be accepted to the 10th generation. So the prospect of her remarrying, remember, there is no social care system apart from the community. We speak in politics, all the politicians are avoiding it. The number one question that politicians will not grapple with is the social care system in our country. There was no social care system here, but there was a social care system in Israel. And when the harvest took place, the social care system kicked in. We're going to hear about that in a minute. But in these times, widows were very vulnerable. Single people were very vulnerable. And she faced the prospect of no marriage and a childless future. She was like Abraham, who obeyed God and went where she did not know. She was like Sarah, Abraham's wife, who trusted God when all the evidence suggested a childless future. When Muslims turn to Christ today, they have to give up everything. Family ties, everything. When people who... I heard a story recently about someone who was a drug addict, and they turned to Christ. And they were struggling because they were only seeing their fellow believers once a week for an hour on a Sunday. Whereas when they were a drug addict, They were with their community every single day. Okay, they were injecting themselves, which was a really bad thing to do, but they had friendship. They had people who were had things in common with. So when people turn to Christ and join the community of Christ, how much they need support and community. So Ruth comes into this new community, forsaking all, I trust in him. And she knows about the social care system, and she heads off into the fields. She heads off into the fields, and a lovely coincidence happens. The narrator of the story tells us in verse 1, now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. I'm going to explain this next week, not this week, but this is the most important point in the whole story. That in the social care system of Israel, when there was a widow, a brother or a relative would marry the widow and preserve the family line and take care. And that person was known as a guardian redeemer or a kinsman redeemer. That is what Boaz is going to be in this story next week. But when Boaz, before I get into that, the scripture says these words, that as it turned out, she found herself in the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Literally, the happenstance has happened. In fact, the Jewish Bible says, as luck would have it, my Jewish study Bible, that's the way they've translated, as luck would have it. Imagine that, a Jewish study Bible, as luck would have it. In the King James Version, it says something like, it was her hap that she ended up in the field belonging to Boaz. Basically, the narrator is saying, hey, come on, was this a coincidence? Was this really just she stumbled across being in the right place at the right time, just when she was gleaning in the field, that Boaz happened to be coming along and he happened to be the guardian redeemer? The narrator's telling us that God is involved in the detail of our lives. Do you believe in coincidences? Do you pray for coincidences? Naomi has prayed that Ruth would be shown kindness. She says, God's not going to be kind to me, but I pray he'll be kind to you. And at the beginning of this chapter, Ruth says that she's going to go into this field and take full advantage of the social care system. And perhaps the owner of the field will show me grace. As a new believer, I believe she was praying that the owner of the field would show her grace. And so at just that point when she's in the field, in Boaz's field, and Boaz comes along, that is no coincidence and is in many ways the turning point of the whole book. William Temple, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, said these words. He says, when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't pray, coincidences don't happen. It's a bit like Gary Player, the golfer, who, when he chipped in from the bunker three times, they said, you're very lucky. And he said, I find the more I practice, the luckier I get. And the more we pray, the more God incidences happen. Ruth Ruth trusted in the God of the covenant. She said, your God will be my God. God said to the people of Israel, including the foreigners, as was read at the beginning, we're foreigners, by the way, has that escaped you? Scottish people are not the original chosen people. And so when we see in the family tree of Jesus, Ruth the Moabite, see yourself there. Ruth, the Scottish girl. What? A Scotsman? Or a Scotswoman in the genealogy of Jesus? It's supposed to be that surprising. Not to mention Rahab. We won't go there. Right. So Ruth's renunciation, Ruth's redeemer, Ruth's refuge. You see, this is what Boaz said to her. She said, why have you shown favor to me? And he says, the Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, under whose wings you have taken refuge. Aren't these beautiful words? Under whose wings you have taken refuge. Why is Ruth shown grace? Because she has placed herself under the wings of the Lord. Think of a refugee, vulnerable, very needy, afraid. Think of a little bird, a little chick, and then the wings of the mother bird protecting. That is the character of our God. That is the God of loving kindness and faithfulness. That is the character of God that's reflected in the social care system of Israel, in the gleaning laws, where food was left behind for the vulnerable. And that is the principle through which God wants all societies to function. But the refuge for Ruth was ultimately in God Himself. Have you seen The Lord of the Rings? And there's that wonderful scene at the end of Lord of the Rings where Frodo and Sam are really tired, and then the big eagles come and they sweep them away to safety. That is the same image that is in Exodus chapter 19, just before the giving of the Ten Commandments, where the Lord says, upon eagle's wings I carried you. I took you out of Egypt. Now, this is how you should live. It's because of God's great love, God's great rescuing love, that He wants us to follow Him and reflect that love in all of society, in all of family, in church too. And it's under the protective wings of God that Ruth takes refuge and finds grace. Now, it's interesting the wording here, because Boaz prays for her and says, the Lord repay you for what you have done. He's heard about her reputation for how she has forsook all and trusted in Him, in the God of Israel. And Boaz is praying that the Lord will repay you. But that repayment is not a quid pro quo for good deeds. It's a consequence of putting herself under the arms of God. So what is that reward? What is that reward? The reward ultimately is an enriched relationship with God, When Jesus speaks about the reward that comes to us for our piety in prayer, he says, your Father in heaven will reward you. It's an enriched relationship with God, a sense of closeness to God when we live by his ways, a sense of purpose. You know, that living by God's ways gives a sense of purpose, that you're in tune with the Creator. So that reward, that reward for us as a church is to think about I want to talk about community. I want to talk about how this is probably the most important practical application. I think that baby crying is going to help you to remember that in the Psalms, that we cry out to God and in his unfailing love. Whatever you're going through, whatever losses you're going through. And have you ever been in a situation in life where you're screaming and shouting at God? Screaming. And you just, the prayers seem as if they're going off the ceiling, but no, God is hearing and God will answer. And the reversal. There's a wonderful reversal in this story because look with me at verse 20, the key verse. This is because as you read the story, Boaz has showered kindness on Ruth. He's protected her. He's given her preferential position in the gleaning field. He's invited her to lunch. He's given her roasted grain. He's said, hold out your hands. And she holds out her shawl and he fills it with 29 pounds of grain. When's the last time you lumped a sack of tatties to the car from the supermarket? 100 weight of tatties. Well, think of a third of that weight is actually the third of the weight of grain that she took home to her mother, plus the cooked food that she had in a doggy bag. And Naomi, who said, the Lord is against us, the Lord has not shown kindness to us, she is absolutely amazed about this God incidence that Boaz has showered kindness on Ruth. The Lord bless him. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. She's thinking about her late husband. She's thinking about her two dead sons because she sees that God has a plan through Boaz to protect, to provide, to give hope and a future. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And her covenant faith is reignited. She has a reversal from bitterness to blessing. And I think the most appropriate way for us to finish today is to praise the Lord, to praise the Lord for his kindness, for his steadfast love, God has chosen you, and he will not let you go. God chose Ruth, and he did not let her go. And God has chosen you, and he's got a great purpose for your life. And his steadfast love will never cease. As Naomi said, He has not stopped showing kindness. Even through my pain, he was at work even then. So I'm going to invite the band back up, and we're going to sing together. We're going to sing this chorus a few times. The first time we're going to sing it with music. The second time we're going to sing it unaccompanied as a prayer. And then we'll all stand together and we're going to sing about God's kindness. Allow God's Spirit to minister to you. Allow Him to fill you with His hope and with reminders of the way He has blessed you in the past, and that in this furnace experience, He is with you and He will not let you go.